Welcome back to our special edition of the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and today we're featuring a panel discussion on healthcare innovation with Dr. Stephen Jones from the U.S. Department of Defense, Dr. Gerald Cross from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, and Dr. Robert Klodner from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Also joining me in our conversation from IBM is Tom Romeo. Gentlemen, it seems obvious that the key to making healthcare information electronically available is the ability to share that data amongst the various healthcare providers. Today, from what I understand, you're sharing most, but not all, of the electronic healthcare information at different levels of interoperability. Can we take a moment to explain what exactly constitutes interoperability? And could you describe the different levels of interoperability and perhaps give some examples of the types of data that can be shared at each level? Let me pitch this to Drs. Jones and Cross. Dr. Jones, can you start, please?
Thank you, Al. The outcome of information interoperability is based on DoD's and VA's mutual understanding of shared information. And we utilize provider groups in both organizations to help us focus and prioritize what information we do share electronically. It is our vision that the users have equal understandings of unstructured or structured information which is shared between them in an electronic form. The two departments are guided by the Center of Information Technology Leadership Standardization Levels Group. This group, CITL, defines four levels of healthcare information exchange and interoperability. And there are four levels of standardization. Level one is the non-electronic data exchange, which we all use every day, mail, telephone, etc. Level two is machine transportable, and most of us recognize that through fax and scanned document. Level three is the areas, level three and four are the areas which we tend to be focusing on, and most of these discussions are surrounding. Is machine organizable, transmission of structured messages containing non-standardized data. And level four is system exchange information and standardized data that uses the same structure and vocabularies. And that sounds fairly simple, but when you talk about the thousands and thousands of pieces of information that has to be exchanged, it is a very complicated process and one that all three of us and many others are working on as we proceed down this road.
Great. Dr. Cross, can you tell us a little bit of interoperability from your perspective, and perhaps some examples?
Well, I think the first thing is why it's so important. And it turns out that our patients used to be their patients. And the second thing about interoperability is that our clinicians are making the decision about what's most important, what to focus on, and what we really need. I think you could argue that not everything needs to be computable in our health record, our clinicians, and we use something called the Interagency Clinical Informatics Board, the ICIB, have stated that not all of the information needs to be shared at the highest level of interoperability. That's level four that Dr. Jones talked about. And they're working to identify those specific data elements that are needed at this level to support decision making.
As a follow-up, would you describe for us the types of clinical information currently being exchanged? What are the characteristics of the health data? Is it outpatient versus inpatient? And is it just viewable, or can it be understood and acted on by the computer? Let's start with Dr. Jones.
Well, on separated service members, DOD is providing VA one-way historic information through what we call the FHIE on a monthly basis. And those are the materials that VA needs when a veteran approaches for examples such as lab results, radiology reports, outpatient information, allergy information. We do a lot of assessments with our military, post-deployment health assessments. So all that information is sent over on a readable basis, on a monthly basis. As of November 2008, we transmitted messages to the FHIE data depository on more than 4.6 million unique retired or discharged service members. For those who information patients who are treated both by DOD and VA, we use real-time sharing of current health information bidirectional through what's called BHIE. So when Congress and others think of interoperability, in most cases, that's what they're thinking of, real-time sharing. So when the physician or clinician enters in that information, that it is readily available to be picked up by both facilities. Bidirectional information is available at all VA and DOD sites and exchanges, readable text data. And DOD provides access VA data through ALTA. And, of course, VA providers have access of our data through VISTA, their system. We are sharing two-way enterprise computable data through DOD's Clinical Health Data Depository and VA's Health Data Depository on standardized and computer data, outpatient pharmacy data, and medication allergies. In other words, this total interoperability is not available from us to VA in all cases. We're still building that block on a demonstration and pilot sites for some of the information that we have. So those are some of the challenges that we have into the future. As of November 28th of 08, we exchanged computable pharmacy and medication allergy data on over approximately 25,000 patients who receive health care from both systems. And DOD electronically sends radiology images and scanned medical records for the severely wounded and injured service members transferring from one DOD three major trauma centers, Walter Reed, Bethesda, and Brooke Army Medical Center, to one of VA's four main polytrauma centers located in Tampa, Richmond, Minneapolis, and Palo Alto.
That's great. So I can clearly begin to see the benefits of interoperability. So I'm curious, what are some of the key barriers or challenges to achieving this interoperability? Let me start with you, Dr. Klodner.
Okay, Al. In terms of those barriers and challenges, there are some that affect the VA and DOD exchange, and there's some that are more general and affect care that VA and DOD have with the private sector. First of all, one of the things that VA and DOD have to face that Dr. Cross mentioned are the fact of standards, some case the absence of standards, some case the reverse of that, too many standards. You need to be able to use the same standards, have the term mean the same thing in the two different systems, be coded in the same way. For example, even something like a coding of gender. Are there 4 or 6 or 8 or 12? If you agree on the number, in this case, there turns out that there's a subset of 4 that are often agreed upon. Do you give it a number, 1, 2, 3, 4, or do you give it a letter? So things like that. Now, those are the standards. The other thing that is a challenge because of their success for VA and DOD is the fact that they have a lot of data from going back over 20 years. This means that some of the early data did not use the current standards, and yet you don't want to lose that because it may be important for current clinicians to be able to look back at that. So having that, being pioneers in this actually creates a little more challenge in moving forward. Now, as far as the private sector, one of the challenges there is that there's a lack of incentives to share the information. And I think this may be one of the areas that the new administration is looking at to incentivize the sharing. Another challenge, at least for getting information to or from the private sector, is that the current use of electronic health records is still very low out in the private sector, especially, as I mentioned, compared to VA and DOD. The final thing, again, more of a challenge in the private sector than the public sector, is the absence of a patient identifier on a nationwide basis. So those are a number of the barriers and challenges that we have right now for achieving interoperability.
Great. Dr. Cross, from your perspective, some of the key barriers and challenges to achieving this interoperability?
Well, you know, I think the first thing is the size of these two organizations. Depending on how you define it, DOD is the largest cabinet-level organization in the United States government, and we're the second. We have millions of patients in the VA, but there are millions of patients in DOD. And so you're talking about a system that has to encompass very large numbers of individuals, and then it's spread across the nation and even outside the nation. So it's complexity. That's an issue of complexity and size. Then the second thing, I think, perhaps, is structure. And so what we're doing right now with tremendous energy is to create the structure. And one of the things that we're doing is an office to guide us, an interagency program office, to work with both of our agencies as we move forward towards some kind of common services solution to guide us through that process and to make sure that we're staying on track. You talk about obstacles. The truth is there's tremendous motivation in both of our departments to make it succeed and make it successful.
Great. How does DOD and VA health information sharing align with the national health information sharing efforts? We will ask our panel to share with us when our conversation on healthcare innovation continues on the Business of Government Hour.